Tonight I'm going to call your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 16, verse 1. Genesis 16, verse 1. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. And Lord, once again, we are blessed as your children to ask you for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you. And Lord, to ask you to reveal to us the truths that you would have for us to walk in and to honor you by, Lord. Build our faith that we might truly be the witnesses of your great grace to a lost and dying world. Lord, that we might be the recipients of your grace and to experience that in a greater way and to allow the world to see that and to encourage one another by that. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "The Lord Hath Restrained Me." The Lord hath restrained me. And just to let you know right off the bat, we are not going to bash Sarai. In fact, if anything, we will identify with Sarai and Abraham. So forgive me if I call her Sarah. You know who I'm talking about, right? Sarah and Abraham. And as we consider their walk with the Lord, may we consider ours as well, and the different struggles and battles that we face, and the different misunderstandings that we have in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, and understanding what He wants for us to do. So as we consider our text tonight, we want to consider an important truth that's often misunderstood, and that is that God doesn't want to bring His will to pass by our effort in our lives, but He wants to do it by His power and His grace. He's not wanting us to try to do it without Him. In fact, He doesn't want us to step out in front of Him. The Bible says it's important that we wait on the Lord. And in that process of waiting on the Lord, we are seeking God and we are calling upon Him for guidance. We're not just waiting in by the sidelines, not doing anything. We are actively engaged, pursuing His word and calling upon Him for guidance. So I want to look at three thoughts tonight concerning this title, "The Lord Hath Restrained Me." And that was true, was it not? The Lord did restrain her. But really what He was doing, if you'll stop and think with me just for a moment, He was bringing Sarai to the end of her power. That's what He was doing. That she would. And by the way, listen, she could not bear children, but boy, oh boy, she had some great ideas, so she thought. And they were not great ideas. And by the way, you and I can have some great ideas. Boy, oh boy, the Lord. Listen, here's some of the great ideas that we've come up with. We see some people, we see their dedication. Boy, they'd make a great Christian, wouldn't they? No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. None of us make great Christians. It is Christ in us that makes us anything worth having. See how we think? That's how we think. Oh boy, oh boy. No, it's not our talent. It's not our power, it's God's, or we miss God. And so it's so important. We are so apt to look to the natural realm. And that's what Sarai did. She looked to what she could do. It may be, and it wasn't, but it might be that the Lord will do it this way. And we come up with this idea and that idea. No, the Lord's already said how He was going to do it. And if we'll just stick to it. But what happens is we get a little bit impatient, right? And we think, well, I can fix this. No. Listen, when we fix things, it's finished and it's over. Amen. They're done. And that's not what God wants us to do. So three thoughts tonight. Sarai's personal desire for God's promise. The second one is the difficulty of time in understanding God's promises, and that causes some problems, only because we are impatient, and the difficulty of our impatience with God. So let's consider Sarai's personal desire for God's promise. Look at verse 1 again. "And Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children." Now listen, this was a reproach back in the day. It was considered maybe a judgment from the Lord that God has withheld. And she made the correct assumption. God did withhold and restrained her from having children. But it was God's plan to give her a child, was it not?
It was God. Listen, we need to be patient and wait on the Lord. And we have a natural tendency to be impatient. If we're getting all antsy and worked up, that's not the peace of God. Amen. If we're getting worked up and we think we've got it, that's not the joy of the Lord. God says, listen, come unto me and I will give you what? Rest. Right? I'll give you rest. I'm not going to cause you to be anxious. I'm not going to cause you to want to plan these things out, because he says, follow me. And in this particular case, and I relate that for you and I to realize that we need to stop and think. And I think Brother John mentioned it today. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Right? That's important. And God has said this. He says, be my witness. Has he not? He says, be my witness and have compassion for the lost. And so those two things we know, and hey, may we be faithful in those two things. And so as I challenged you, take the time to carry one track on your person somewhere and to hand that out during the week. And on a daily basis, approach the Lord, be like the four that bore the paralytic and bear the souls that we have in our church family that need to know the Lord as Savior. And let us hear and expect to hear some things of what God is doing in the lives of these souls that need to know the Lord as their personal Savior. So, Sarah, I had a personal interest in God's promise. I think you and I also have a personal interest because God saved us and we love him. But the problem was Sarai became desperate, did she not? And not only was she desperate, but boy, oh boy, she was determined. She was determined to figure out a way, and that God didn't ask her to do that. God never said, Sarai, now how do you think we should do this? Did he? He never said, Sarai, you got any ideas on this, how we can do that? You and I may troubleshoot some ideas, but with God, everything has been settled, believe it or not, from eternity past. God's plan does not need our figuring. Amen? God's plan has been determined before we were ever even created. Praise God for that. Listen, in eternity past, God knew that we would need a Savior. In eternity past, God had already decided, the triune God had already decided that the Son of God would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Wow, listen, if God foresaw all of those things, does he not know all of our troubles and all of our problems that he has the answers for? All right. So she had this desire. Nothing good comes when we neglect God's counsel and God's way. Even though if we have the best of intentions do not justify thwarting or going or sidestepping God's plan. So again, verse 1, and Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. This is already telling you this is going off kelter here. This is already wrong. So listen, can you imagine? Here's Sarai, and she's figuring, now how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we do this? And she keeps seeing this handmaid, and she's young, and she could bear children, but that was not God's plan. And so she gets a little bit in front of herself. No, she gets a lot in front of herself, and definitely a lot in front of the Lord. In verse 2, and Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me. Well, that would be a good indicator that if the Lord has stopped me, that means that I can do nothing without him. If the Lord's restrained me, maybe I should find out why the Lord has restrained me. And the reason why, she understood this later on, that the Lord had restrained her and Abraham. And by the way, God also waited for it to be for Abraham to be considered dead concerning bearing children. Both of them did not have the ability, if you study the scriptures carefully, you'll see that both of them could not produce any more children. Do you know why? God wanted both of them, and he wanted us as well to know that God did it. God did what we could not do for ourselves. And listen, I want you to know, and God wants us to know, that he is in the business of doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's the truth. Isn't that the truth? I can say amen to that too, but I got a question with that. Why does it take us so long to learn that? Amen? I'm in the same boat. Why am I so slow to grasp that truth and rest in that? Okay, Lord, you've got it. Because here's what we think. We think that if we don't help God, it's not going to happen. Now, here, the truth is, God is going to use us in that, but the most important thing, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be busy lifting up those that we know that need to know you as Savior, and I'm going to be busy about telling somebody during the week about your eternal life, right? If we will do that, watch what God will do. We're putting it into, that's such a small thing to do. More honor and glory to God. More honor and glory to God. Amen? Amen. Oh, listen, this is what we ought to be doing. No. Listen. Let me tell you what we need to be doing, and that is that we, if we will collectively honor and glorify the Lord by taking one track. No, we need to be, you don't know, we need a canvas. No. Listen, one track. Just commit to one track a week and be consistent with that. If God leads you to pass out more, but listen, all you need to do is just one track and watch what God will do. Prove the Lord. It's such a small thing. Again, more honor and glory to the Lord. But when we come up with all these ideas, it's a numbers game. The more doors you knock on, the more. Wait a minute, where's God in all that? Amen? Now, it's not that those things are wrong, but let's just be faithful to the one thing. Amen? And by the way, your one track could be to your next door neighbor. And then if you have a neighbor on the other side, it could be to that neighbor. Amen? And then the following week. And then the following week, you might hit the second house away from you. It could work like that. Listen, don't complicate it. Make it simple and watch what the Lord will do. But Sarai said, you know what? Listen, here's Hagar. Here's our problem. Let's fix this. And boy, oh boy, did they fix it ever, right? And it was done after that. So the Lord restrained me, she says, from bearing. I pray thee, I'm pleading thee, I'm asking you to go in unto my handmaid. Now, listen, Abraham should, now I'm convinced that the way she approached Abraham, and this may have not been the first time, Abraham may have picked up, I'm not saying that she asked Abraham more than this time, but she may have been, you know, wives have a way of letting you know when they're not happy. That was an amen. That's a new interpretation. But anyway, they will let you know. Amen. Oh my goodness. Anyway, they will let you know. Somehow they will let you know. So I dare say Abraham knew that she was beside herself to some degree. And that's why, you know, I think Abraham wanted to please his wife, and he was at his end too. Because, my goodness, you know, God's promised this child, and I want this child, and we're not getting this child. And by the way, you know, 10 years passed by, so let's not find fault in her. Let's just, hey, listen, so Abraham says, okay, I think maybe you're right on this. And so she says to him, I pray thee, go into my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And she was dead wrong on that. It was never her child. And it did not produce what she thought it was going to produce. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. He listened to her. Listen, if anything, I'm wanting us to understand, and I think God is wanting us to understand, that these are people that are penned down in the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to know that there are, I'm going to tell you that Abraham would tell you, and Sarai would tell you, we are no different than you are. The only reason why we had any faith in the first place was because God called us. The only reason why you and I have faith is because God called us and we listened and we followed. That's it. And so be pleased to know this truth. And by the way, be pleased to know this. I would say this was a royal mess up, wouldn't you? It's still affecting the Hebrew people. Still affecting them. But God forgave them and made things right. Listen, why? Why am I saying that? Why is God saying that? Because no matter what you have done, God will receive you because you're a child. And he will forgive and go from this point forward. Forget about the past in this regard. You can't do anything about it. It's gone. It's done. Whatever's done, you can't change it. But you can walk with the Lord right now. and you can walk with the Lord tomorrow, and you can bring God before, if you haven't confessed whatever it is that you've done wrong before the Lord, confess it and then be done with it. I don't remember who said this. I believe it to be true. It's biblical. I mean, God casts our sins into the deepest ocean and forgets them. They're gone out of his sight. But the idea was like this. This one fellow kept saying, you know, I kept coming before the Lord with this one sin that I had confessed, and I felt like I needed to confess it again. And finally, I got this impression that the Lord is saying, what are you talking about? I've forgiven you for that already. I don't even know what you're talking about. God being God, he says he forgets it. I believe it. And so that will only hinder you if you can't put it behind you and believe that when God says, if you confess it, I forgive you, that's it. It doesn't matter what your flesh tells you. It doesn't matter what the devil says. Listen, every time the devil accuses you and I, he is the accuser of the brethren. The Lord points to the blood. Covered. There is nothing that will condemn you and I because of the grace of God. All right. So Abram hearkens unto the voice of Sarai. Right. So now we're going to look at the difficulty of time in understanding God's promises. And what we find really is the factor of time. It can cause us to become desperate and forsake God's will. So verse 3 says this, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt, how long? 10 years in the land of Canaan. And gave her, so she waited for 10 years. She waited for 10 years, and that was the end of her rope. But it wasn't the end of God, because God was working to bring Sarai to the end of herself. God will work in your life and mine to get us to come to the end of ourselves. He does not want us to look to our commitment to him. That's not the plan. He says, look unto me. He says, look and live. Not just for eternal life, but for spiritual life on this side. Look to the Lord and live. So we sing a song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Now, do you think God wants prayer to be sweet? Yes. He does want it to be sweet. But don't make it a misery. And just because we sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, don't set yourself up to pray for an hour. Pray for however long you feel led to pray. But make an appointment with the Lord. I would dare say early in the morning, before you do anything in the day, is the best time. I think we find biblical patterns. I think the Lord did that early in the morning before it was light. I think that's a good thing to do. So give yourself 5 or 10 minutes extra to the Lord. That's a sacrifice unto the Lord. Lord, I'm going to sacrifice 10 minutes of sleep. Isn't he worth it? 10 minutes of sleep that I may roll out of bed right there, and that'll be my altar, or go into the living room and find my favorite comfortable place and pray and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, today I want to walk with you, and I need you, Lord, to show me how to follow you. And then on top of that, I'm going to mention the lost loved ones in the church that I'm a part of, that you've placed me in, right? And not only that, Lord, but I am asking you, this is a good thing to do, to prepare the one and point me to the one that you would have me to give a tract to, whether it be today or sometime this week, that I might be faithful to you in witnessing and fulfilling the great commission that you've called me to do. God has called his church, his body of believers, to be a faithful witness. And so just one track. Don't overdo it. That's what we want to do. No. We complicate things like that. Make it simple and watch what God will do. Just hand out one track and see how God will bless in that one track. And we'll be amazed. And it will be God. Listen, and in that in that 5 or 10 minute prayer time, one day, you're going to realize that you were in it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it's felt like 3 minutes. And you're going to go, wow, that was good. That was good. And that means, so now I'm going to pray 15 minutes. No. Stick to your 5 minutes and let God bring it. Let God bring you into that sweet hour of prayer. And watch what God will do. And that is you expressing faith in the Lord and waiting on him to bring it to pass. Let him do it. All you're doing is you're just going to make an approach to the Lord and say, now, Lord, you do something with that. You've asked me to come. I'm coming. Now you do something with that. And so Sarah got to the end of herself in her patience, and really she got in front of the Lord. And so this time factor caused her some problems. Verse 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, question. Was she out of her mind? She was out of her mind. She'll tell you, I was out of my mind. Do you know impatience can cause us to do some things that we'll look back on and say, I must have been out of my mind. And you'll see that. Was she happy with the end result of it? Absolutely not. And she would tell you she was out of her mind. Verse 4, and he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. She looked down on Sarai. It blew up in her face, didn't it? It didn't. Listen, every time we come to the Lord with our ideas, and we don't listen to what he's already said, it's going to blow up in our face. And so, I would dare say this, and we can wait till we see Abraham in heaven, but I think he really did this thing for Sarai. He took this extra wife. And no, listen, I think he had a heart for Sarah. I don't think he had a heart, but he saw the perplexity, and I'm not excusing it. It was wrong all the way around, but I'm just telling you, I believe he did it at the direction of Sarai to help comfort her, and it was not good. It just didn't work. Last thought, the difficulty of our impatience with God. Look at verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. That's a fine how do you do, isn't it? And you know what? She wasn't wrong in that. She wasn't wrong in that. Both of them got in front of the Lord. Both of them are wrong. It was the woman that was deceived, but Adam still partook, and therefore the whole human race was condemned, right? So regardless, it still affected both, Adam and Eve. Regardless, it still affected both, Abraham and Sarah. And so she says, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And notice this now. Well, watch what he says here. And this is, again, the difficulty that we have when we become impatient with God and his plan. But Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So was that kind at all from Sarai or Abraham? Abraham said this, hey, look, do what you want. That's what he said. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop. Where's Hagar and all this? Yeah, Hagar did wrong, but where's the mercy of God? It's all gone. Here are children of God without the mercy of God. Here are the children of God acting and reacting in a very carnal way. She got called back, didn't she? She got called back. We're not going to go into that. But so God really fixed things up for them because of the mess. Did they not make a mess? They made a mess. You and I make messes too. But you know what? God will fix them. God will fix them. And he says, this is the process. Listen. God wants us to hear this. This is the process of learning to walk with the Lord. You've not arrived. Paul pressed toward the mark up into his death. You know why? Listen, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. It wasn't just given to him. It is learned. But the only way that it could be learned is for you and I to say, for me to live is what? Or who? Christ. For me to live is Christ. Amen? Christ is my life. And it's not me doing things for the Lord. That's not the life of Christ. That's your life. Is it not? It's Christ doing things for us. You have no praise in your mouth if all you're doing is being busy for Jesus. What's Jesus doing for you? You have nothing to praise the Lord for if he's not blessing you with his Holy Spirit, if he's not blessing you with the fruit of the Spirit. We have nothing to praise the Lord. I dare say, correct me if I'm wrong, we live in a society of so-called believers that are professing to know the Lord Jesus Christ with no fruit. How can you say that, Brother George? Look at this, look at that. Yeah, look at it. Look at the morality and the decay of our society and tell me God's doing a lot of work. Does God want to do work and can he still do work? Absolutely. But we're too busy coming up with this plan and this idea instead of waiting on the Lord and doing what he's asked, getting back to square one. And that is that you fulfill the Great Commission and call on me for direction and watch what he will do. So it's time for us to come to the end of ourselves and our wonderful ideas that God doesn't want anything to do with. And boy, oh boy, did I think I had a bunch of them. Amen? They are my ideas. And so stop and think about this. I come up with this idea on how we're going to bring people in. And we can bring them in, can't we? We could bring them in. Boy, oh boy, listen, can we? You just hold some kind of an event with free stuff and they'll beat the doors down. But where will they be on Sunday? Not in God's house. And all you do is create a potential accident to take place. It's all you're doing without God. So we can come up with our own ideas, but God is saying, I'm wanting to get you, us, to the end of ourselves to where we're only looking to one place. Where might that be? To God. And stop and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you to direct me. And I'm just going to do what I know to do. You've called me to pray and call on you and to have compassion for the lost and to pray the Lord of the harvest. And you've called me to witness. Go ye therefore. And all we have to do is go to our Jerusalem, and we're reaching out through missions to the world and just hand out one tract a week. It's so easy to excuse ourselves about what programs we ought to be doing and neglect our personal responsibility to the Lord to be a personal witness. That means me handing the track. You see how easy that is to do? I can point my finger, but how often am I being a witness for Jesus? Because he's called you and me to be the ministers of his gospel. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on, but what I'm saying is we can look to things that don't involve us personally. And if we're not involved personally, what will our relationship be with the Lord? It'll be at a distance as well. And we'll wonder why we're drying up on the vine and we're not seeing. And we'll wonder why, man, prayer is not a fun thing to do. And we'll wonder why, I just can't get into the Word right now. I have to do something else, maybe come back to it later. No, listen, God will make it refreshing. Amen. God will make it to where we say, oh, sweet hour of prayer. But the hindrance is when we become impatient with the Lord in his way. He says, so what did he do in Sarah and Abraham's life? Did he take their plan? Did he bless what they did? No, he brought them right back to square one and said, here's where we're going to do it. And they had to wait still a little bit longer, didn't they? And did God bring forth Isaac as he planned and as he promised? He did. Do you think they rejoiced to see the day of Isaac? Absolutely. Oh, listen, when we see God's blessings, do you think they had a little bit of something to praise God about? When God will work in your life and mine, we will have an opportunity. We'll want to praise God. We'll go through the day thanking the Lord for his great mercy and his great grace in our lives. So tonight, listen. How is your walk with the Lord? How are you growing in the grace of God? And we might say with Sarai, the Lord hath restrained me. Why? Because we're coming up with our own ideas and not looking to the Lord. And the Lord is saying, call on me and let me show you the way. I'm not done with you. witness like I've called you to do. Share the gospel one time this week. That's just, and that would be fine. Just if we would just be that. And I'm not asking you. Listen, make it this simple. That is my recommendation, and don't increase it. Don't ever say I'm going to hand out 10 tracts in 1 week, one tract a week. Now, I'm not going to tell you not to carry 3 or 4 or 5 tracts. And I'm not going to tell you that God won't lead you to hand out 5 tracts in 1 day. He will. It'll get good to you, and you'll enjoy it. And then all of a sudden, you'll start watching, and you'll start seeing God work. And you'll go, I didn't know it could be this good. I didn't know it could be this easy. Amen? We had 2 ladies visit with us today for the first time. Did you see them? Did anybody here invite them? Because I asked them, how'd you find out about our church? I try to ask. She said, well, we're looking for a church. They're very pleasant, very nice. And so I don't know what the Lord's doing with them, but I didn't knock on their door. But see, God will in turn, he will, as we honor him, he'll honor Northwood Baptist Church. By the way, he wants to. So tonight, if the Lord is restraining us, that's not a bad thing. Let's stop and reevaluate. Listen, my personal walk with the Lord. Am I stepping out in front? Am I thinking I need to do this and I need to do that? All you need to do is call upon the Lord, seek him through his word, and be the witness he's called you to be. That's it. And God will take it. And by the way, this is a good thought too. God is not called you to witness and be responsible for the outcome. All he's called us to do is just to hand out the track. And the results will be left to him. Don't carry that burden. That's not ours. God just said, you sow the seed, I'll create the growth. Amen? So tonight, God is wanting to bless us if we'll just stop and say, okay, Lord, let me allow you to be out in front of me and let me follow you and do things your way, and not be upset when the Lord is restraining us. He may be trying to get our attention to redirect us, not to come up with our own idea, and we've probably done it in the past, I have, but not to come up with our own idea like Sarai and Abram. We'll make a mistake. Amen? Follow the Lord. Listen, God is more alive today than ever before. And what I mean by that is in our society and in his churches, he's not gone anywhere. He's still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is just as available as he always was. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word, for your wisdom, and for your understanding. Lord, may we not lean to ourselves. May we look to you. May we not complicate things and try to confound them and confuse them with coming up with our own ideas. May we just simply look to you and what you've asked of us, Lord, and called us to do, and that is to follow you. Bless your word tonight. Bless your people. Draw our hearts closer to you, Lord, and give us wisdom and understanding to honor you and to allow you to work through us, in us. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.